sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock. Don't forget, our great picks are coming up in the last segment of the show today. Trent, quickly, I know we have a short segment here because Wolfgang's coming in. To Iowa State and Kansas quickly.
Yeah.
And there's so much talk about, you know, is Iowa State going to be full of themselves? Could this be a trip-up game? I don't see it being a trip-up game. I think they win the game. I think the weather plays havoc in the game, and I just see it to be kind of a sloppy game, but they still win by 15 to 20 points.
So Kansas, you maybe can hang around the number,
yeah.
But ever in doubt, any one of those moments like, here we go again? Do you see something? Because I do. I think we're going to see one of those moments. I think this game goes one of two ways. Blowout, Iowa State wins it comfortably, or there's some dicey moments where you're saying, oh boy, you can't do this after beating Oklahoma. I think those are the only two routes we see of this game.
I'm with you on that. By the way, you asked me about before we got to the top of the hour break, if there was a upset that I might be able to call.
Yeah.
After having a moment to do a little research, I will call the upset in the NFL. Oakland Raiders lose at home against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay. All right. I can definitely see that one.
Can you buy into that one?
Well, of course. Okay. Jimmy B, it wouldn't even be an upset because there's no line, because there's still no announcement of what's happening with Carr. And if it's E.J. Manuel, is that really an upset? Not really. The Raiders are proving to be a
Carr's
pretty
playing.
Bad team.
Carr's playing. He's playing.
According to you?
Yeah, he's playing.
What's your source on that, Jimmy B? You calling Carr up?
Twitter.
Oh, really?
He's playing.
So Derek Carr is playing. You're official
yes.
with that? You're official?
Yes. Yes, I'm official.
All right. Well, I'm going to allow you to do maybe a little bit more research on that one. I'm going to talk with Wolfgang coming up next. You'll rejoin us at the end of the show. We'll get your picks on. And Jimmy B, you are 19-10-1 against the spread. How you doing this?
Wow. I'm feeling good. I'm like James Brown. I feel good.
That's it? That's it?
That's it. That's all I got. I feel good.
You're giving us no more insight. You just feel good.
You have to wait till the end of the show.
All right. Well, we'll get those picks coming up here at about 5:40. Wolfgang, he stops by next. Jimmy B and TC on 1700. KBGG, stick and stay right there.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Sponsored by JCPenney. Right now, get more savings on everything you love. Come in for an additional 50% off clearance and stock up on everything you need. JCPenney.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill, located right inside. The smells are fabulous. And Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartenders, well, they're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358. 1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Talking sports with Jimmy B and TC. Call the show now, 264-1700. Big Sports on 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG, taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. And then at 7, high school football district championship on the line with Waukee and Johnston. 7 to 11 o'clock with high school football coverage all season long on 1700. Right now, time to talk with our man Wolfgang on the Draft House 50 hotline. Wolfgang, what's happening, my man?
Johnston has no shot.
Whoa. Shots fired out of Wolfgang.
What's that?
Shots fired. You're going after the Dragons.
I'll give you my address right now, Johnston.
I know your address.
Yeah, you do, actually.
And I understand why you're saying the things that you're saying. So you're gonna come out and do a color with me tonight then? You gonna be at the game?
I am not. Oh. No, I do want to do that basketball. We talked about that Yes. Maybe sometime. I don't know how good I'd be at football, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. It takes a little practice, does it not, Trent? I mean, you're just like, come out and do this. Are you serious? I mean, it's like, I'm not Tony Romo. Everybody loves Tony Romo, and I agree with everybody. He is awesome. Is he not?
I don't know if he's awesome. I'm not.
You are the one guy.
I know.
On Twitter, in the world that doesn't like him. Really?
And it's not to be contrarian. There's something. Now, I have a voice that is distinct. I've been told by professional media members that I don't have a voice for radio. So
yeah, she told me that. Yep.
I understand it a little bit. There's something at about his voice, though, that just, it's a little bit off to me. That's all it is. Yeah, what he says, all those things, all well and good. But there's just something about the voice. I don't know. That's it, but he's good. No, that, not
Chris,
to take
that's
away.
That's absurd that you would say that. So you've been hijacked with your career on your voice.
Yeah.
And then you're holding him on that?
No, I'm not holding
him. The same thing about him, Trent. She said the same thing that you said. She didn't like his voice, and it's annoying. I'm like, would you listen to what he's saying? And I was wondering if everybody agreed with me. So I went to Twitter yesterday. I can't tell you. I mean, you don't get that kind of community on Twitter behind somebody. Almost everybody loves him, Trent.
Mm-hmm. No, I like the content of it. There's something about his voice.
Fair.
That's just,
okay.
It's different.
Fair.
It's a different kind of voice, and I have a different kind of voice. Yeah, I'm whiny and it's squeaky, and I sound like I'm 18 years old. I get it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Bunch of jerks.
Well, he's also a millionaire, Trent. How you doing?
You know, not even close. Not even close. Well, Wolfgang, as we talk some Hawkeyes with you here today, we'll talk some Cyclones. But before all that, I want to talk baseball with you. You were captivated last night by this baseball game, Cubs-Nats.
Dude, I was tweeting about it. I was so pumped. I thought it was so much fun to watch. Because the previous five games, I'm sitting there watching, you know, listening to Ernie Johnson. I'm like, I'm not a baseball dude, Trent. Okay, so I'm like, how many times have they scored in this inning with two outs? The Cubs yesterday, how many runs did they get with two outs, Trent? Wouldn't you like to know that? Ernie Johnson, wake up. Earn your paycheck. How many runs, you know, did they get with two outs? Do you know, Trent?
I don't know offhand, no.
I'd love to hear some of this stuff as a guy that's coming into this. And everybody now that I know, they like watching baseball with me at the beginning and hate it at the end. Because I ask a whole bunch of questions like, why are they taking that pitcher out? He hasn't given up a hit through 6 1/3 innings, and Dusty Baker takes him out. Why are they taking him out? And I bring up other stuff that I just don't get. A guy from the outside coming in that I'd love one time, maybe one time, to watch a baseball game with you and just ask you what you're seeing and what you're talking about. I heard you say with Jimmy B yesterday, something to the effect of baseball has changed in terms of bringing in starters for reliever time innings. Why? Why did that just now change? That's just obvious to me as a non-baseball guy. Why has that changed now, Trent?
The why is there's always been numbers out, not always, but there's been numbers out there that say that that's the way that you should do it. That's the way you should use a bullpen. You should not just wait until the ninth inning to use your closer. You know, some of these old school mentalities that have been out there, and that has changed. The evolution of the usage of the bullpen. If a guy's,
no, but I'm even talking about bringing in a starter
for
a couple.
And that's something different, too, where in the past you'd have a guy, he's going to throw a bullpen session that day anyway, and managers kind of looked at it and said, well, if he's going to throw a bullpen, why don't we just use him in the game? If he's one of our best pitchers, let's use him. Now,
is that what you, Trent, were talking about when things have changed in baseball, and over how long a period of time has that changed? Because that just seems obvious to me. It seems the Moneyball thing seems obvious to me, Trent, that you would actually, I don't care if you get to first base because of a walk or because you hit. I don't care. The on-base percentage, that just seems obvious to me. And the fact that this is just now getting around, it's just like, all these guys copy each other, and then finally one guy does it, and everybody does it. There's things in football, going for it on fourth down, and stuff like that that are just obvious that the numbers prove you're right. I don't get that stuff, Trent, in baseball, and I'd love to watch one game with you. After that, you get annoyed and just shut up, Wolfgang. But you may like one game with me, maybe.
Yeah, we can set that up. Yeah, we'll find some time, absolutely. I'd love to do that, too. Speaking of Moneyball, you realize Moneyball, the season that was like 15 years ago? You
know, I was just in longer than that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that was a while back, and this is even different from that, which, you know, was more of an analytic look at thing, but I'm just talking more about the way that pitchers are used, bullpen usage. Go back to the wild card game with the Twins and Yankees. Severino didn't have it. There's no screwing around. You go right to your best pitchers, and it's not, hey, we got to save, we got to wait and save Green until we get to the sixth inning, and then Robertson after that. It was, no, we're going to go out there right away with these guys, see how long they can go, and then we'll go to the next one in the line. A totally new way of thinking, and the chess game, we go from playing checkers for much of baseball's history, now we're playing chess. The game that went on, and last night, so captivating. It took forever. Was it a well-played game? No, it wasn't. It was ugly.
Gosh, it was
weird, but you're absolutely right. It was fun. And one of my friends last night is in our text chain, so we got a group of us, you know, together, and he's being an old curmudgeon about, oh, you know, he hates the Cubs. That's also, I think, a part of it. But, oh, that game was terrible. That game was not terrible. Was it well played? No. But if you can't understand the drama, if you can't get excited about the game, the pitch in, pitch out, 370 pitches, I think it was last night, and just that sensation of baseball. That's what makes baseball great to me. Even without a rooting interest, without a betting interest last night, that's what makes it good, what we saw last night.
No, it was so much fun. And as a non-baseball fan that actually likes the playoffs, is getting the last 2 years I've watched it pretty, not close, but pretty close, for me anyway. And I'm just watching this, and I'm seeing the fans get into it. That's what I need to see. And I'm seeing the players, and I'm seeing Rizzo going, respect me. You see him chanting, you see him yelling that at the other, respect me. I freaking loved it. And they booed him yesterday when he came to the plate. I don't know, it needs a little more of something for me, but I can see why you guys like it, the stats. And it's not necessarily, I think you said yesterday, it's not necessarily you talk about the game overall, but there's certain plays that you go, why did Dusty Baker do that? Why did Joe Maddon do that? I can kind of see how you get into this. I can totally get it.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, and now we get a very entertaining AL and NLCS, and baseball is back, and looking forward to the weekend and getting the baseball going once again, Wolfgang. All right, let's jump into a little bit of football. The Hawkeyes on a bye week. They beat Illinois. We didn't have a chance to talk on Monday, Wolfgang. They pull away in the fourth quarter, but still, you know, giving up some big chunks of yards on the ground in the first half. The offensive line couldn't run it very well in the first half. They did what they were supposed to in the second half of the game. As we hit the midway point of the team, give me a read of this team, because that's what I'm struggling with. You know, what you normally are accustomed to Iowa, you can see them building, or you can just see, and sometimes they just don't have it. I still don't know what to think of this Iowa football team.
No, and I don't either. And you're sitting there watching the game, and if you look at the macro thing, you're trying to decide what Iowa is worse than or better than we thought going into the season. The one thing that we are worse than is the offensive line, and that's obvious. Offensive line has got to come together. They got to get healthy. A bye week is definitely going to help, and they have to do that. One thing that's better, I think, and can only, it sounds weird, he's done a great job, but he can really improve. I'm talking on explosiveness, and we're talking about analytics with baseball. If you talk about it with football, it's turnovers and explosive plays, and he's missed, Stanley has, on explosive plays. If he starts getting that down, boom, all of a sudden Brian Ferentz looks like a freaking stud. All those just short overthrows could have been touchdowns or huge gains if he just takes a little off the amp on the arm there. And all of a sudden everybody's thinking Brian Ferentz is a stud. I already know he's a stud. I think he's a stud. He's going to be a stud offensive coordinator, and I think he will be our next coach. Just watch it. I'm 100% behind this guy. I think he gets it. And there were some articles put out there, Trent, did you see those, about how you don't necessarily know what he's doing. He's not, and not everybody knows, you can't just go, oh, he's going to do this, like we've seen in the past, which I like. But it's also something to get in rhythm with the offensive game and run it, and the offensive line gets in order. But if you're hurt, what are you supposed to do, Trent? I think he's been, you know, he's got a first-year freaking quarterback, and I think he's done a fine job, and he's only going to get better. I'm behind Brian Ferentz. Are you?
Yes, yeah, I can understand what he's trying to do. It makes sense. I buy it. I believe it. I'm absolutely in. I am. I think for the here and now and what they are and what they have an opportunity to be, I'm right there with you, Wolfgang. I think this team has an opportunity to be good offensively, to put it together. And the offensive line, it looks like they got the guys now that they want. Boone Myers, we'll see how healthy he's able to come back with. He can play, you know, the left guard spot, but you got Werfs at right tackle, Welsh at right guard, Daniels at the center. You mix and match at that left guard spot, and then Alaric Jackson at the left tackle spot. And pretty hopeful for the future with that offensive line, not just for, you know, the second half of the year and next season, but going forward, you're set up with two pretty nice tackles that certainly at least look the part.
Yes. Yes, they do. And if you're talking, have you checked out Iowa's, for the Hawkeye fans or anybody else? Everybody wonders about this. Next year's schedule, I want everybody to check that out. Trent's good at this, Googling it quick. I'm not as good while I'm talking. I can't do two things at once. I don't know how you do that, Trent. It's very impressive. But if you look at next year's schedule that Iowa has, yo, we got a chance. And you're talking about the offensive line. And Iowa always has to have a good offensive line in order to be good at on offense. And they've got it. With the two tackles returning, they're going to have a stud center that's going to make the NFL. Iowa's got a chance next year with the guys they have returning and also the schedule that we have forthcoming. And I know everybody's getting on, you and I coming on, and anyway, what do you think of that? You got the schedule up, Trent?
Yeah.
For next year?
Yeah, next year they open up with, let's see, it'll be four straight at home. Northern Illinois, Iowa State, UNI, and then Big Ten play starts in Kinnick with the Badgers coming to town.
Okay, see, ooh, ouchie, ouch. Okay, the Badgers, but yeah, the Badgers are coming to town, which is the key thing there.
Iowa's been better against them at Camp Randall than they have at home, though.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, the psychology. If you go to somebody's place, I'm big on the psychology of the game, and if you go to somebody's place, if your players are just have a chip on their shoulder, like we're not supposed to win and they have nothing to lose, which is why I'm kind of against playing UNI, which I've told you I wanted to talk about. UNI, putting UNI for the 2020 schedule, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as an Iowan, as a guy that comes on the radio and likes to talk and wants everybody to do well, totally for it. Love it. Love that UNI is going to get a paycheck. I haven't heard your opinion on this, so it's going to be fun to hear what your opinion on. So I'm looking at it as an Iowan right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Macro, money to what? $700,000 to $800,000 to UNI, Trent?
Sure, yep, right in that range, maybe even close. Yeah, I mean, keep the money at home. And the reality is, in 2020, we're talking about next year's schedule, but you look forward to what Iowa has in 2020. That season, they have Michigan State, October 3rd, at home, followed by at Ohio State, at Penn State. Back-to-back weeks. That three
never heard never heard of them, Trent. Never heard of them.
That three game stretch right there. Look, who do people want them to play? They want them to play Alabama. A, Alabama's not going to play them. They're not coming to Kinnick Stadium for a one off game, and this is what it is, a one off game. I'd like to see them go out and play Central Florida, South Florida, somebody like that. We've heard people talk about that. You know what? Anymore, those programs don't play one off bye games anymore. It is MAC opponents, Sun Belt, or somebody from the FCS like this. It's a game that certainly is more interesting within the state borders here, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you play UNI or Eastern Michigan or Louisiana Lafayette in that first game, a bye game. Whoever you play is not going to be the deciding factor between Iowa getting in the college football or not getting in the college football.
Oh, Mike, what a UNI Panther homer. Okay, stop this, Trent.
They beat Louisiana Lafayette instead of UNI, and they're getting into the college football playoff if it comes down.
Let me tell you what I'm saying, okay? So I went as an Iowan there. I'm happy they're playing UNI and giving them a paycheck because I love UNI and I respect their program. Let me put my Hawkeye hat on for a second. It's ridiculous to play a FCS conference team like UNI when they know you better than anybody out there and they can beat you. And they, quite frankly, should have beaten Iowa a number of years ago with two block kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another year where it was very, very close until the end. Iowa should not be playing an FCS team if we're just being Hawkeye fans and don't care about our brothers and you and I. We should be playing an FCS team, if you're going to play, where you can play your second string game and not give a damn about a win. Because guess what? I've got my Hawkeye hat on now, Trent, and you got to worry about that game. That game is no gimme.
Sure. No, and taking it from that perspective, absolutely. Does it make more sense to... And here's another thing that I agree with you on. If you're going to schedule an FCS team, nobody cares from the people that talk down on Iowa scheduling to...
Thank you.
To whoever it comes down to on a committee selecting teams to get in. The difference between a good program like you and I and taking on an awful program like Savannah State, it's no difference to them. You're not getting bonus points for beating a good UNI team. You're not even getting bonus points for beating a good North Dakota State team. They're still looked at in the same realm. Hey, it's FCS. That's what you're supposed to do. But if you beat a bad team from the Sun Belt, I guess you get a couple more points than you would for beating a good FCS team. It doesn't matter that UNI and North Dakota State and South Dakota State, all those teams would probably win the Sun Belt, at least be right up there in the top three year in and year out. Nobody cares about that. Because it has that moniker, the label FCS. No, I get exactly where you're saying, and you're right. In terms
of
Iowa,
Hawkeye fan, Trent, I'm gonna put you on the spot. If you're a Hawkeye fan, if you're in the Hawkeye administration,
yes,
that's a miss.
Yes.
If you want your program to elevate, now if you want to be friendly to you and I, and I'm being, I know what I'm being here. I'm being a cocky Hawkeye arrogant fan. I understand that. But if you forget about the UNI thing, why would you want to play a really, really good FCS team? Let's say they're Northern Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We would not want to play them. Why? We would not want to play them. We want to win. You know, if you're going to play an FCS team, have a guaranteed win where we can play our backup quarterback and find out what we have the next year, play some guys. No, UNI is not that program. They're a good program that knows how to get it done year in and year out, and they know Iowa better than anybody, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State knows. How well, let me ask you this, Trent. How well have we done against programs that know how we do things, okay? Not well. We played Iowa State when it's 50-50, right? And the national media laughs at Iowa when they lose to Iowa State. They know Iowa State as well as anybody. So does UNI, and they've come close a number of times. So does Brett Bielema at Wisconsin. So did Fitzgerald at Northwestern, okay? Because he modeled their program after Iowa, and he had some hair up his bleep about what Hayden Fry said in 1947, okay? You also bring up North Dakota State. I had him on the Saturday show, the coach. Great guy. He's a Hawkeye fan. He knew the Hawkeyes better than anybody. They beat us. We don't need to be playing teams that know us and know our players as well as we do. Sorry. There's the Hawkeye, but I can go just Iowa fan and just bring it back to the state, and that's cool. But yeah. If you're just a Hawkeye fan and an administrator, this is a bad move.
No, I think there are two schools of thought, and they both have a lot of credence. I am with you there, Wolfgang. All right, let's wrap up here and talk a little clone football. Just like you called it, Wolfgang, right? You had Iowa State knocking off Oklahoma, right?
Boomer!
you got some connections to Oklahoma, right? There had to be some upset people with that one.
Oh, my God. I'm going there November 11th. Oh, my Lordy. I should wear an Iowa State shirt. And record it. Oh, my gosh. That would be so fun to watch. But to watch that game and to watch, because we had the Iowa game going and then the Iowa State going, what a game, what a difference a week can make. We're talking the Texas game the week, 2 weeks before, and we're like, which you brought up to me, and it was a great point that I heard nobody talking about. You brought up that if Iowa State does not beat Texas, ruh-roh, you didn't say they're not going to make a bowl game. You said it's going to be hard. And if you look at the schedule, you can't not say that.
Right.
But now it's not if Iowa State can win. It's like, who can they beat? Who can't they beat, Trent? Do you agree on that?
No, I think that's a good point and a good way to put it. As you go forward, you look at what they have the rest of the way, the rest of the season, there isn't anybody that scares you. Kansas, yeah, they're a big favorite. But at Texas Tech, Texas Tech is much better defensively this year. They can still sling it around. They can do those things. But still,
have you changed your opinion on that, Trent?
No, you remember this summer I was higher than most on Texas Tech. I thought that they would be better.
No, I know you were, but it sounded like a couple weeks ago you were going to take Texas Tech. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and I'm still in that boat. I'm still taking Texas Tech in that game. But still, not a game to be scared about. TCU at home. TCU's undefeated. I frankly don't think they're one of the 10 best teams in the country. Same thing with Wisconsin. I don't think they're one of the 10 best teams in the country. But they keep winning games. You look at TCU and what they've done to this point. That Arkansas win certainly doesn't look nearly as good. At Oklahoma State, that was a nice victory. Struggled last week against West Virginia. That buzzword that the committee uses when they're talking about, a game, how a game plays out. West Virginia, in that estimation, should have won that football game. They get K-State this week. I'm not scared of TCU. West Virginia, same thing. Okie State, you can outscore them. Baylor, K-State, you go through here, and not only is there an opportunity to get to 6 and bowl eligibility, the way they're playing, the way they played against Oklahoma, this team could win 7, 8 games. It's crazy to think about, but there's so many swing games. First of all, you can't give it back against Kansas this week. That would be a huge detriment and a huge step back
for the program. It's not stopping, Trent.
It would be. It absolutely would.
They're not losing to Kansas. Let's stop this.
Well,
they may not beat them big. They're beating Kansas.
I've heard this before, though. I've heard Cyclone, we're not losing to Kansas. And what do? They lose to Kansas. Go back to 2014. That's all anybody was taught. No, there's no way they're going to lose. They got throttled by Oklahoma. They came back the next week. But we're not losing to Kansas. What do? They lose to Kansas. So don't say never, because it has
happened. That was when God, if Iowa State loses, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. We're going to have two bowl teams. Iowa State, that's what they need. Get the ball rolling. If they start making bowl games, Trent, you know how much fun sports radio is going to be in this community?
Oh, it's great.
If they get to go and they get to show what they show every year in the Big 12 tournament and show their passion, and they will have incredible passion. It won't just be a bowl game to them, Trent. It's like the ball is moving. Here we go. You know what I mean? It's going to be huge for them to get a bowl game. It's just not like Iowa getting a bowl game. We go to bowl games every freaking year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't mean that much to us. It's like they see the potential of what can be and what probably will be if they keep their coach and the recruits that they've got coming in. So, I mean, if you look at last week, so Lanning, yes, what did he get? Walter Camp, National D Player of the Week. And then you talk Camp getting the Davey O'Brien Player of the Week. You can't make this up, Trent. This is ridiculous. This isn't just Iowa good. This isn't just, wow, what a great story for Iowa in the year. This is like national good.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Playing offense and defense, Lanning, number eight, what is he, 6, 7, 8 in the Heisman right now? He's 6th in tackles nationally, 2nd in Big 12, I believe. I mean, this is not just locally cool. This is like nationally cool.
There's no doubt. Kansas tomorrow, 11 o'clock early kickoff for the Cyclones against the Jayhawks. Wolfgang, we're out of time. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
All right, thanks, man. See you, buddy.
All right, that's Wolfgang Hawkeye checking in with us here. Coming back on the other side, Jim Brinson back with us. Our picks against the spread. Jimmy Beek looks to continue his unbelievable run. Against the number, the biggest games of the week, Jimmy B, 19-10-1. I'm above 500, 16-13-1. But I'm not Jimmy B. Jimmy B with a 3-game lead. Can he extend it? Or is it time for the Cinderella to turn into a pumpkin in Jim Brinson? We'll find out next here. Our picks, Jimmy B and TC, here until 6 o'clock on 1700.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is our final segment of the day. Okay, don't all stand up and applaud. All right, we get that. But it is our pick segment where Trent and I stick our necks out. Before we get into that, and we have done very well since we've been doing this segment, by the way. Trent, is there something, aside from the Iowa State-Kansas game, is there a game that truly stands out to you either Saturday or Sunday that is absolutely must-see for you?
I think it's got to be the Vikings-Packers matchup. I think that's the one that goes to the forefront for me. It's, of course, a big rivalry. You know, and it's odd. Where we are, I don't think people, if you're just an Iowan, you don't know the scene up there. The longest rivalry in football is the Bears and the Packers. But up in Minneapolis, up especially over in western Wisconsin, this rivalry means a whole bunch. And the back and forth that happens, it's a great rivalry. It really is. So I'm looking forward to that one, seeing this Vikings team, now a full week of Case Keenum, as they still to try to figure out what's happening over there. With Sam Bradford, what happens there? But if there's one that I'm probably most excited about, it's that one. Can the Vikings get a win at home and make that a real race? Or are we talking about a 5-1 Packers team? If they win it, that looks to be probably the front runner there over in the NFC and a chance to grab home field. That's a conversation with all the injuries that they had to still be in that position is pretty incredible.
Okay, aside then from Iowa State on Saturday, is there a college game, aside from the Iowa State-Kansas game, because we have to watch because it's our job, is there a game that you will make sure you lock into?
I like a few. What a weird weekend, though. You rarely see this. Sometimes it happens in non-conference, but a weekend where you don't have any ranked versus ranked matchups. There's none this weekend. The ABC late game, the 7 o'clock game, is Utah-USC. That doesn't move the needle a whole bunch. It's an odd one. Ohio State goes to Nebraska, but we saw what happened to the Huskers last week. Red River Shootout's good. I think intriguing. That's one of the games we're going to be picking this week. That'll be one I'll be keeping my eye on. And one that I really like this weekend, also in that 2:30 window, Georgia Tech going to Miami. Miami's dinged up.
Yes.
They finally beat Florida State, finally got over that hump. Their linebackers are hurt. And that's not something you want when you're going up against Paul Johnson and the triple option is your linebackers to be out of sorts. week to prepare. That's what I'm keeping my – maybe upset watch is the way I'll put that one with Georgia Tech this weekend. They're getting nearly a touchdown against the Hurricanes. So I like that one this weekend too, kind of off the radar from our Midwest outpost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned Ohio State, Nebraska, but right. probably in the evening I'll be watching more Minnesota, Michigan State, you know, taking a look at yes. that one. It might be a highly boring game. I mean, doesn't that thing have 14-13, 17-12 written all over it? I think that might be something that we have another one that we're going to be talking about here, Jimmy B. But, yeah, I'll probably end up watching more of that than Ohio State against Nebraska just because the way the Cornhuskers have looked and the way Ohio State's playing again, probably going to be a blowout.
I'm with you on that. For my Saturday, obviously, I'll be dialed in to some of the games that you mentioned. But I'm also going to check out the Washington at Arizona State game.
Mm.
And the reason I'm going to do that is because Arizona State can score. Washington is the number five team in the country, banging on the door again, undefeated. And I want to see if they do what they did at Cal. This is another road game for the Huskies. And I want to see if they can walk in and dominate again in a hostile environment in the desert where it'll be warm. And I just want to see if Browning and company, the quarterback, Jake Browning, has a big night. I just want to see if Washington is truly as good as what people are saying once again. So I think that's a game that I will take a sneak peek at. As far as Sunday is concerned, I get you with Green Bay and Minnesota, but I'm going to be dialed in for Pitt and Kansas City. I'm enamored with the Chiefs team right now, undefeated. They went to Houston and two big defensive injuries for Houston right off the get-go in the first quarter when Merciless and Watt went down, and the Chiefs just put it on them on the road. Now Kansas City is back home at Arrowhead. It'll be nuts. The Steelers desperately need a win, and this is going to be, I think, a highly entertaining game, and I'm just anxious to see if the Chiefs can keep this up, Trent.
Well, that leads into our picks. That's one of the games we're going to be picking here today, Jimmy B. So let's get at it. You are the leader in the clubhouse right now. An incredible 19-10-1 against the number. That's not just picking numbers. That's mm-hmm. against the point spread. So, Jim, we talked with Lee Sterling early in the program. Is Lee giving you some tips? How are you doing this? Because we know it's not on your own accord.
You never have any faith in me, partner.
No,
you need to have at least some faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Look, it is what it is. I told you, it's good to be Jimmy B from time to time. And right now, I'm on an incredible roll. Now, could it blow up this weekend? Of course. But I don't think it's going to. I like where I am right now, and I'm feeling pretty good about the games that you and I are going to get into.
So you have strong opinions of the games
this
weekend. All right.
Yes.
Well, I am behind you in the standing. Still making money, though. I am above 500, 16-13-1 over the course of a season. That would be profitable. Let's see if I can at least continue that. But an awful week for me last week, Jimmy B. 1-4. I went 1-4 in our picks on the Ken Miller Show with myself. It was a rough week a week ago. We're going to look to turn it around here. And we're going to start 11 o'clock in Ames. It'll be Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports North. Find it somewhere on a Fox Sports on your dial. Not FS1, not Fox Sports, Big Fox like it was last weekend. Kind of going old school here with the Jayhawks coming to town. And then money keeps piling in on the Cyclones. Iowa State up to a 23-point favorite.
Wow, that's just a monster number. And you and I have had this conversation throughout the week. I can't remember any game where you were a 30-point dog one week and a 20-plus winner the next week. That's unheard of. Okay, here's the way I feel on this game. Kansas is terrible. Mm-hmm. We know that. But they can run the ball a little bit, and they can score a little bit. And I think the weather also, now they're talking about the rain may not get too bad until maybe the second half. So I just think that Kansas has got enough to keep it within 20, 22 points. Look, if Iowa State wins 41-20, which is a blowout, I still win if I take Kansas in the points. So from that aspect, that's why I'm going to take the 23.5. I am going to select the 23.5. I expect Iowa State to win this game going away, but I think that Kansas will indeed lose by around 21-22. It'll be close, but with 23.5, it's difficult for me, and with the possibility of it being a weather game as well. That's why I think that I'm going to take the points here, Trent. So I will select Kansas plus 23.5 points.
Yeah, I'm on the same line of thinking here with you, Jimmy B. Letdown spot. I think this game's going to go one of two ways. I don't see it being right around the point spread like you do. I think it's either going to be a decently tight game, you know, 34-24, Iowa State wins and has some struggles into the third quarter, or they just completely blow them out and they win it 52-7, you know, something along those lines. I don't think it's going to be close to the number. So if you have a strong opinion this game, either believe Iowa State's going to come out and throttle them, lay the points, or if you're like me and think that Kansas might hang around, you know, you mentioned the run game. Herbert had a monster performance a couple weeks ago against West Virginia, ran for 291 against the Mountaineer defense, went away from them last week against Texas Tech as they got down. And Kansas, they continually, though, get down early. If they can hang around in this football game, if they can get an early score, they can force a turnover, something along those lines. And you also got to wonder, Kyle Kemp, what a story that was. But this is still a guy, it's a walk-on, a fifth-year senior.
Right.
You don't see guys like this put up big performances. I'm going to grab the points with you, Jimmy B. I still think Iowa State wins reasonably comfortably, but maybe some frustrating moments in the football game. And I'll go with the Jayhawks getting the big number up to 23.5. All right, we agree on game number one. Our second game, we stay in the Big 12. It's the Red River Shootout, Jimmy B. Not the Red River Rivalry. Don't give me that garbage. It's a shootout.
Yeah.
Jesus. Snowflakes can't handle the word shootout. Unbelievable. Oklahoma laying now more than a touchdown, up to 8.5-point favorite against Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns.
I'm struggling with this one, Trent. I really am, because Texas is getting better, and we thought Oklahoma was going to dust Iowa State. We all know the outcome of that game. I'm not sure if indeed the 8.5 is enough for me to hang on with Oklahoma. I think Texas defense is pretty decent. I do look for Baker Mayfield to once again have a big game. But I think Iowa State, you go look at that film, people have to remember that Oklahoma did put up 31 points in that game. I mean, it wasn't like they only scored 17. They did put up 31. Texas defense is better than Iowa State's defense. So I'm going to take the Texas Longhorns, and I'm going to grab the points at 8.5. I'm going to hang in there and see if this game is reasonably close. I think probably Oklahoma wins it by 6. That's why I'm going to grab Texas and get the 8.5.
So two schools of thought here. You can go the Tom Herman route. Herman, as an underdog, as a head coach, is 6-1 against the number, including 5 straight-up victories. You go back when he was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, it gets even better than that. So you have that angle with Texas, and Texas is getting better. We saw that in the USC matchup. We saw what happened, you know, a week ago against K-State, back against the ropes, and they were able to get it done in overtime. All these things. So you take Texas, a team that's getting better, the defense is very good, and an offense with Ellinger that looks to be at least figuring it out. On the other side, Oklahoma. Here's number one. Oklahoma hasn't lost back-to-back regular season games since 1999. Jimmy B, party like it's 1999. Take the Sooners.
Ooh, I'd like to. Yeah.
In this game, you go through and you look at the history of this rivalry, of the Red River Shootout, and whoever comes in kind of as the wounded dog with the negativity around them, they seem to come out and win this football game. I think Oklahoma gets it done. I think they win it comfortably. I will lay the 8.5 with the Sooners.
Okay.
And we're on opposite sides in game number two. Our third and final college game of our pick segment is Michigan State making their way to take on the Golden Gophers. PJ Flex up there rowing the boat. Must only have one oar, though, because it looks like it's spinning in circles right now. Yet the point spread, Jimmy B., a little bit low, just 4 in the game. I mentioned this thing's probably going to be a hideous-looking game. I can see Michigan State jumping out to a lead and holding on for dear life. I think that's going to be the route that many people think it's going to go. but there's just something fishy about the line. I'm going to take the Gophers. As much as I'm annoyed by P.J. Fleck, give me the Gophers getting the 4 at home.
All right. I'm fishing as well because I struggled looking at this for the last couple of days. Michigan State on the road. I think it's going to be so ugly that the numbers for TV will be so far down that you won't be able to find it. It'll be that ugly of a football game. But I am going to take Michigan State's defense, thinking that they will keep Minnesota pretty much off the scoreboard. So if it's 7-0 or 10-0, Michigan State will cover the 4 points. And here's another aspect I thought of. It could be 10-0 and time running down and they're pinned up against their own end zone. So they take an intentional safety, then they can punt the ball away and they win 10-2.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to take Michigan State and I'm going to lay the 4.
So, more than maybe even the point spread, you're liking the under in this game. The over-under is 40.
Yeah.
40.
Oh, I thought it might be 14.
It could be, and I still might be thinking about the under. This thing has a chance to be hideous. Let's go to the NFL. We'll stay in the Twin Cities as U.S. Bank Stadium will have the Vikings and the Packers. Green Bay, the 3-point favorite, Jimmy B. Well, I jumped on the Gophers. I'm going to stay with Minnesota getting the field goal in this spot. I think the Vikings win this game outright. I think they find a way to get it done, beat the Packers. I'm going to grab the Vikings here and the points at home getting the field goal.
Au contraire, fair-haired boy. I am going to take the Pack and give the -3. I learned a lesson that you can't bet against a quarterback when his name is Aaron Rodgers. And I saw that in Dallas. I thought that we had won that game in Big D, and Aaron Rodgers made us look terrible. I'm going to give the 3, and I think Green Bay finds a way. I think that their offensive weaponry will be problematic for Minnesota. The Bears, with their shabby offense and a first-time starting quarterback, had success against Minnesota's defense. So I am going to take the Green Bay Packers, and I will lay the 3.
Going with the Pack in that one. We finish up in Kansas City. The Steelers come to town. Another wounded team, and another one where I like the dog in this spot. Pittsburgh, it's been a week of questioning. It's been a week of people just wondering about this Steelers team. How good are they? Are they going to be out of the race? What happened to Jacksonville? Is Ben Roethlisberger done? And on and on and on. Kansas City, the girl with the curl. Everybody's loving this squad. They're the only undefeated left. I'm going on the other side. Give me the Steelers getting the points in KC.
All right, I'm going to go the opposite way. And Alex Smith has got to make me look bad. And so far he hasn't. And this guy is on an incredible roll right now. Look, there's always a week in the NFL. And who knows, it might be this week, where the majority of the dogs cover, Trent. It never fails. There's always that week. Might be this week, but right now, with the way that Kansas City is playing, the running of Hunt, the playmaking ability of Kelce and Evans, and the defense right now that Kansas City has been able to come up with, Steelers are struggling. So I am going to lay the 4.5, and I am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs.
So what agreement for disagreements, Jimmy B? You are either going to stretch your lead out in a big way this weekend, or I'm going to come back and make this thing a little bit tighter again. Jimmy B, 19-10-1 against the spread. I'm 16-13-1. Jim and I both have Kansas. I have Oklahoma, the Gophers, the Vikings, and the Steelers. Jimmy B goes with Texas, Michigan State, Green Bay, and Kansas City. There's our picks, Jimmy B. So the weekend is upon us. What do you got on the docket? You watching baseball tonight? Couple of maybe interesting college games tonight. We'll see if there can be a couple upsets out there. And then we get into the baseball over the weekend, the football. What's on the agenda for Mr. Jim Brinson?
Well, I will check out the Yankees in Houston this evening. There's no question about that. But on the other TV monitor, I do want to see Washington State. You know, I'm a big fan of the Pirate, Mike Leach. Always have been, even when he was a head coach at Texas Tech. And I want to see the air raid. They're going to go play at Cal, who also throws it around a little bit. So Wazoo, what number 8 right now in the nation, at Cal on the road, coming off that big upset over USC. I want to see how they respond. And if indeed they falter and their heads got a little too big after pulling off that upset in the Palouse. So, and oh, by the way, I had two people ask me, what the hell is the Palouse? It's a term that is used for the area in southeastern Washington, down in the corner of the state. It's called Palouse Country. So I had to explain that to everybody. So that's where I'm going right now. I'm going to watch some of that, watch the baseball, and then I'm just going to lock and load over the weekend with some of the games that are on, which you and I already discussed.
Well, that'll do it for the program today, Jimmy B. We'll be back at it starting at noon on Monday with the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, Jimmy B and TC from 4 until 6 o'clock. And tonight, high school football takes the airwaves. District championship on the line. Johnston taking on Waukee tonight. And I'll have the call for you starting here at 7 o'clock. Have a good weekend, Jimmy B.
All right, pal. We'll see everybody on Monday on the Big Talker 1700.